South Africa is alive with possibilities. I mean, who would have imagined a former president in jail? A sitting president sleeping on cash, literally. A cabinet minister visiting a common prisoner in jail. Or even the post office operating, even when they have nothing to do.
Can you confirm that delivery performances drop?
Welcome to the new Sowetan Live podcast called Taking the Rams by the Horns with me, Rams Mabote. Each week, I will be taking a lighter look at very serious topics that half the time drive you up the wall. This podcast will use humor to take no prisoners, have no holy cows, and cook a whole lot of sacrificial lambs. Greetings, my friends, and welcome to another episode of Taking the Rams by the Horns in partnership with Sowetan Live. My name is Rams Mabote. While the world was celebrating love on Tuesday, there was no love lost between our not-so-honorable politicians in Parliament on Valentine's Day, as insults were flying liberally across the floor. One minute it was Police Minister Peggy Cele accusing DA's John Steenhuisen of gender-based violence, and the very next, he was daring EFF leader Julius Malema to meet him outside the house. You know what that means.
To say, Mr. Steenhuisen, want to hear you apologizing to abuse a young woman who came to work in your office and was a wife of your colleague, and you took that wife of your colleague, you divorced your own wife, and you took that young girl, she's your wife today, but the women around you are quiet, are not saying anything, and you come in this podium, you talk about gender-based violence. So you better go and fix yourself.
Minister.
If not, we'll help you. Minister. Thank you very much, everybody.
But it must be said that the raucous tempers achieved something very rare. They kept chairman of the NCOP, Amos Masondo, who was chairing the session, awake. The old man is the face of that group of members of parliament, EFF's Mbuyiseni Ndlozi, once called sleepists.
I'm very sorry, Honorable Davis. Speaker.
Order. What's the point, Honorable?
The police Ndlozi? Minister is sleeping in parliament.
Honorable member, that's not a point of order.
No,
please.
It is. I'm disturbed.
No.
We
honorable.
Pay this guy. I don't even think he's a member of parliament. He comes and sleeps.
Honorable Rosie, please take your seat now.
But can you call order, Honorable Speaker? Surely
take
we can't come
seat.
To work to sleep on the take, people's time.
Take your seat,
don't
Honorable
sleep.
Rosie.
Take us serious.
However, I'm tired of sauna and post-sauna conversations, and I was frantically looking for something more important to discuss than adults insulting each other. I did not have to look far. This morning, I picked up my copy of the Sowetan, and there it was on page 18. Friends, a revolution is unfolding in front of us while our undistinguished members of parliament are playing children's games. Men's fashion enjoys a feminine touch, reads the headline. This caught my attention. Not because I'm not a fashionist, and actually I am not a fashionist. Actually, I'm not, and actually I'm not even a fashion fundi, but because the pictures were so compelling, if slightly shocking. Written by my colleague Nombuso Khumalo, the story goes that the trend focused at Men's Fashion Week in Paris and Milan, Paris, last month included dramatic capes. Beret headscarves for autumn winter as men's wear continues to take soft style notes from women's wear. You should have seen my face. I looked more shocked than the mayor of Johannesburg when he was nominated from the backbenches of his three-man party to come up and lead Africa's richest city. In her story, Nombuso says that women's wear has always been intrigued and inspired by men's wear. But now, it's a turn of masculine fashion to look the other side and enjoy a feminine touch. Enjoy? She goes on, by the way, to say that with many designers embracing non-binary form of dressing, men and women are no longer conformed to dress strictly according to their gender. Okay. After reading that, I thought she must come and talk to me. I don't know, guys. You must check out this story. Please buy the paper today and see the story. There's even a straight poll poster on this story. That's how big the story is. She made poster. You know, generally when we make poster, it's a big, big thing to us. Nombuso, you made poster. Hello.
Hello, Rams. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Now, you seem to have been having too much fun when you were penning this story.
I don't know if fun is the word to use, but it was intriguing and it was refreshing to see as well. So I thought it would be a beautiful angle to just take for the paper.
Is this revenge of the women finally on men?
I don't think it's revenge. I think it just speaks to a conversation that we're having in society now when it comes to identity and when it comes to dressing according to how you want to be perceived. So I think binary fashion is
ball gowns and like skirts and lace blouses. I mean, blouse, you know, I associate the word blouse with my mother and her era. Now
true.
Men are wearing blouses. Have
That's
you ever?
True.
I mean, no, it can't be where the world is going. Is it really where it's going?
I mean, it's not necessarily through just men wearing women's clothing in the traditional way that women normally wear it. So if you see on the runways, you have men who would wear a blouse, but would wear it underneath a suit. So a suit is what you would associate with menswear, but then a blouse, then you would associate with, like you said, a woman. Mm. But it doesn't necessarily say that men can't wear women's clothing.
Well, we know they can now. Based on your story, they can wear
this
stuff.
They absolutely
they do.
Can. They are. And I think it's just incorporating it in a way that is more subtle.
I know
blouses are not subtle, but there are some places where, like in silhouettes.
Yeah.
I think it's just looking to women's silhouettes where for a very long time, women look to men's silhouettes. You know, the blazer, that boxiness of feeling comfort.
Numbus.
So that's how it is. It's
I mean, who designs this stuff? I mean, it has to be women, right? I mean, I feel like they like, eat this, guys. You gotta wear this stuff. I mean, I don't see any men designing that.
Interestingly, it was on men's runways, and men's runways are traditionally designed by men. So it really was by men.
Wow. I mean, I could not understand, or at least what I could not understand is why this fashion week did not go the whole hog. I mean, if you're going to do this, they may as well wear lipstick, these models, they may as well wear lipstick. And I'm sure they even, I mean, if they're parading in women's clothes, why not wear lipstick? I'm sure they were even wearing G-strings underneath.
I don't think you can take it that far, Ems.
Why? But let's start and just go the whole hog.
I think the essence of what they're trying to say is that with our world always in shifting in the way that it has, that identity is no longer something that can be rigid. It's no longer just male and female, but it's something that you identify with. And why should that not be imposed on the way that you dress as well and the way that you want to be perceived?
You know, I go to gym. Mm-hmm. I know it doesn't show and I don't claim to be a hunk, you know, as you can tell. But when I go, you know, from time to time, I love working on my shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, almost, you know, we think that we should have those shoulders that somebody must cry on, literally. You know?
Absolutely.
But after reading your story and seeing those pictures, I'm like, I'm inclined not to show my shoulders again going forward. I'm a bit paranoid.
No, I feel like when it comes to things such as the shoulders, it's still such a desirable thing for both men and women. You know, women who would wear men's blazers just for the shoulder pads. I mean, the 80s shoulder pads are such a big thing. And they still are quite a big thing even today. And the reason for women would be because when you have broader shoulders, then your waist appears to be much smaller,
yeah,
which is the desirable hourglass. But then when it comes to men, like you were saying, to have that strength or to appear as though you have that sense of power is really where the strong shoulder comes in and it makes a statement. So for men and women, something like a blazer is is binary, you could say. So it's not necessarily saying that men need to dress like women, but then they can take some style cues from women's wear just to give them a more feminine appeal. Not necessarily look feminine, but to have that essence of femininity.
I mean, look at me now.
Uh-huh.
Do you get any feminine appeal? And if not, do you feel like I should do better?
I mean, it depends on how you want to be perceived. I mean, take, for example, Rams. If you had to swap out your shirt for a shirt of the same design, but change the fabric. So change it and make it more silk or mm-hmm. make it more satin.
Yeah.
You know, those are and fabrics that we...
shoulder pairs on top.
That's what we normally yeah. associate
maybe
with a woman.
A brooch somewhere.
You don't really need to go the whole mile. But then if you change something as small as that, that already just gives off the appearance that it's more softer.
And
to
would you
touch.
Date a guy like that?
I would.
So if you walked in here, you know... And I was wearing a cape. Just be honest with me.
Like, uh-huh.
Would you have chuckled a bit before we even started this
Absolutely,
conversation?
Absolutely, we would have.
So, you see, you would have chuckled. It
but
says to you something is amiss.
But you're asking a fashion person. I love drama. So if someone were to come wearing a cape, I would be like, yes, here's my Batman for the day. So...
As for opera glove. By the way, mm-hmm. until I read your piece, I didn't even know those long gloves are called opera glove. Like, I seeing a man wearing those, like... Why, brother? Why are you doing this?
But I think men are wearing opera gloves. It's just because they're probably wearing a shirt or they're
yeah,
wearing a
so
blazer.
They're hiding.
So they're hiding it. I don't know. I don't see it.
Let's talk about the colors.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I'm a very conservative person. I confess, mm-hmm. right? I wear mostly dark colors. I only wear bright colors in golf. I play golf and that's the only time you'll see me wearing orange pants or red pants mm-hmm. or stuff like that. But outside that, you won't see that. And I look at those colors. I mean, they to me were something else. I mean, I was asking myself, who wears those kind of colors? I don't even know the names of those colors. I mean, I know guys from Limpopo would occasionally wear maroon shoes
mm-hmm.
you know, and politicians sometimes wear bottle green shirts. I don't know who advises them, but,
mm-hmm.
but those colors, are they normal? The colors in your story.
How are colors not normal? No, colors, again, it's just a form of expression. And they speak to just how you would feel and how people love color, you know, and people love to look bright and people love to look lively. It's fine to wear your dark tones, like your navies and your blues. Nothing personal. And it's okay, but some people would like to just push the envelope now and then just a bit. But again, it's best if you do want to incorporate those sort of colors to do it through accessories, because you can always take off a cap. You can always take off gloves if it's a little bit too much. But if you do want to add that pop of color and excitement in what you're wearing, I think colors are a brilliant way to do it. Bright colors.
I mean, you know, I'm not going to pick on your story alone. I see a lot of outrageous stuff. I mean, the other day I saw some boots that I thought, what kind of boots are these? And then there was a suit that was like a black thing that looked like a balloon. Do people wear this in real life? I mean, or do they only end up on the ramps? I've never seen them in real life.
It's really for excitement. And I think with the balloon, the black balloon that you're referring
that
to there, the Sam Smith at the Brits Awards. I think it's just for intrigue. It's for fun. Like you said, everything around us is quite serious. And it's just when we have those opportunities to just have fun.
So in real life, people don't do this, right?
I mean, some people could, but the question would be, how would you sit? Like, where would you sit? Like, what kind of chairs would accommodate those kind of pants? So functionally, it makes absolutely no sense. But if you want the drama and you just want a bit of fun, I would say go for it. But at an event or at a place where you know you'll wear it just for that one night.
You know what I think?
And that's it.
I mean, I think that... designers actually use leftover fabric to create this thing. This is not what they do in real life.
That's
they do
true.
Proper stuff that you and I wear. Then when they have leftover fabric,
yeah.
then they do these outrageous things.
I mean, yes and no. Because who has leftover latex? Who has leftover, you know, rubber?
Yeah.
So I don't think so. I just I think designers do utilize some clothes, like that whole movement of sustainability and reusing certain garments. Yes, they do that, but more practical garments, more practical fabrics, such as your denims and your cottons. So for real life, yes. You know, that's where sustainability would have the most impact. But for runways and red carpets, I think it's really for the drama and awe and gore that people want.
I know your question was rhetorical, but I suspect Durex does have leftover latex.
Most probably. Most probably.
So here's my last word, right? And uh-huh. I have no more question for you.
Uh-huh.
I really... really read your story and I just saw GBV in reverse. I felt attacked. Like, why would people dress like this?
Okay.
Guys, you gotta read page 18 of the Sowetan today. Nombuso Khumalo. Wonderful story. Thank you very much. And thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having
me. You're a star, man. Shocked as I am. I'd rather read your copy any day than listen to parliamentarians like someone called Nana.
Apartheid was very bad. Apartheid left many of us with physical and emotional wounds, and scars are still showing. But not everything was bad about apartheid.
Give me a collared shirt with an exaggerated open neck anytime, brother. Thank you very much for listening and for your patronage. Happy weekend ahead. Please subscribe to this podcast and follow us on Twitter at Rems by the Horns and at Sowetan Live. From me, Rems Mabote, goodbye and God bless.